Good afternoon. I just want to make sure that you can hear me and this is not getting in the way. Okay. Well, thank you to members of the media for being here. I would firstly like to acknowledge the concerns of the public, which we take very seriously. We are very sorry to have caused them much anxiety. We had wanted to give them better protection, and this required a change in our policy involving the use of NRIC numbers because the current situation leaves us vulnerable. Let me explain why. In our daily interactions, we are identified by our names. However, our names may not be unique. So, for example, when organizations have to deal with many people, say a hospital with several patients named Tanakao, they can be confused and they each need a unique identifier, which is their NRIC number. So when the hospital needs to perform an operation or dispense medication, the doctor or nurse must make sure it is the right Tanakao, and they will ask, what is your NRIC number? Because the main purpose of the NRIC number is to be a unique identifier, it cannot be a secret, just as our names are not secret. We must assume that our NRIC numbers are known to quite a few people. However, over time, NRIC numbers have increasingly come to be used as more than just an identifier. Some organizations have started depending on a person producing his full NRIC number as proof that the person is who he or she claims to be. He or she is then granted access to privileged information or services. That is, the NRIC number has also become an authenticator. This is not a good idea. Since our NRIC numbers are known to some other people, someone unauthorized may misuse our NRIC number to get access. Partial or masked NRIC numbers are also frequently used. For example, when we visit a condominium and the security guard takes down our particulars, including our partial NRIC number. Many people think that this way, the full NRIC number remains concealed. This creates a false sense of security because, in fact, from the partial number, you can make a good guess of what the full NRIC number is using simple algorithms, and especially if you also know the person's year of birth, this process is not at all difficult. We therefore had to change the status quo to move away from the NRIC number as an authenticator and from using masked NRIC numbers for that false sense of security. So that was what we needed to do. Now, we knew that this had to be done over a period of time and that a major effort would be needed to help Singaporeans understand the risks because of our long-standing habits and practices. And it is better to do this while the problem is relatively contained. Within government, we started to do a few things. Get agencies to stop using the NRIC number as a password or to prove someone is who he or she claims to be. Discontinue the use of must NRIC numbers, starting with new services first and then existing services as each service is updated. Unfortunately, there was a lapse in coordination between the staffs on how this was to be implemented, and this led to ACRA's unmasking NRIC numbers in the new BIS file. Let me now ask Chief Executive of ACRA, Hui Min, to explain what happened, and Minister Indrani will then set out the next steps from MOF's perspective. Thereafter, I will provide a further explanation of our larger plans regarding NRIC practices. So, Hui Min, please.
Testing. It's good. Thank you, Minister. Friends from the media, good afternoon. Friends from the media, good afternoon. Firstly, on behalf of ACRA, I would like to apologize for causing anxiety and concerns among members of the public over the disclosure of NRIC numbers in our BIS file portal. Please allow me to share what happened. Starting with explaining the role of ACRA. As Singapore's national business registry, ACRA has a role in maintaining transparency in our business environment. To do this, we establish and administer a repository of information relating to business entities and the persons behind the entities, and provide access to the information. This facilitates due diligence checks that businesses and service professionals undertake. It supports corporate transparency and helps to guard against illicit activities. The BIS file portal allows public searches on information such as company names and unique entity number of the companies, as well as company directors and shareholders. This information enables companies or individuals to verify the status of the counterparty and to confirm the identities of individuals associated with these companies before entering into a business relationship. For example, a company considering appointing an individual as a board director can utilize the BIS file portal to check the individual's associations with other companies. This helps the company in a few ways. It can reveal potential conflicts of interest, past bankruptcies involving the individual, the performance of companies the individual is associated with, and whether the individual is holding an excessive number of directorships. These insights are crucial for the company to obtain, but may not be appropriate to inquire directly from the individual himself. To fulfill our role as a business registry, ACRA's BIS file portal is designed with a people search function, so that users can accurately identify the specific individual that they are looking for before paying for additional information, such as the companies that he or she is associated with. In the old BIS file portal, the public users could do a name search and get masked NRIC numbers corresponding to each of the names. The new BIS file portal had provided full NRIC numbers instead of the mask ones. Let me explain how this came about. As Minister Josephine Teo said just now, there was a wider government effort to uphold the use of NRIC numbers as a unique identifier and to move away from the use of mask NRIC numbers, which provides a false sense of security. In particular, MDDI had issued a circular for government agencies to cease any planned use of mask NRIC numbers in new business processes and services. Unfortunately, there was a lapse of coordination between the staff on how this was to be implemented. ACRA then proceeded on the misunderstanding that it should unmask NRIC numbers in the new BizFile portal. This was a mistake on ACRA's part, and I apologize for this. Our oversight has caused anxiety and confusion to the public. As the owner of the BizFile portal, ACRA should have been more mindful that many Singaporeans have long treated their NRIC numbers as private and confidential information and would not want to have their full NRIC numbers searchable on the new portal. We should also have taken more deliberate care to ensure that such information deemed sensitive by many is provided only when needed. ACRA will learn from this lesson and tighten our systems and processes. We had disabled the people search function last Friday night. We are now working hard to restore a revised service in a way that addresses both the public concerns and our users' needs. Minister Indrani will share more, so let me pass the time to her. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I understand that recent events have led to anxiety and uncertainty for many, and I want to assure everyone that we do not take these things lightly. We're committed to take the necessary actions to rectify the situation responsibly. Minister Josephine Teo spoke about the government's position on NRIC numbers, while CE ACRA Hui Min had explained how the mistake came about. I want to add two key points. One, it is important for ACRA to provide public access to information on individuals associated with businesses. And two, the plans going forward. The search function on the BizFile portal covers publicly available information about business entities and their associated individuals to facilitate and support legitimate business needs such as due diligence checks. For instance, when representing a client, lawyers or accountants may need to verify their client's roles in various business entities, their shareholding, and the statuses of the companies that they are involved in. They cannot solely rely on their client's assertions, but must conduct thorough background checks as part of their due diligence to evaluate the legitimacy and the credibility of their client's claims. In another scenario, when Company A is planning to enter into a major contract with another Company B, Company A may want to do some background checks on Company B by checking the identities of its directors. If BizFile shows that the board of Company B has only one local director, who also sits on many other boards as a nominee director, Company A may wish to do further due diligence before committing. The service also guards against illicit activities. When the names of owners, directors, and key position holders of companies are publicly known, this helps to ensure accountability and could deter individuals from engaging in illegal activities. If an individual tries to hide behind companies to conduct frauds, scams, or other illicit activities, having their name publicly linked to the company allows customers or business stakeholders to easily trace them and take action. This level of transparency helps to protect the interests of all stakeholders and maintain trust in our business environment. To be clear, ACRA does not have every citizen's information. If you're not involved in running an entity registered with ACRA, your information will not be collected or shared by ACRA. But if you had made a filing with ACRA to become a company director or already are a company director, then your information is collected and made publicly available. This is because, as a director, you're a public representative of a company, and there will be public interest in you and the company you represent, be it from investors, customers, suppliers, or other business partners. Let me now touch on our plans going forward. The People Search function remains useful and necessary to support legitimate business needs. Since the function was disabled last Friday, we have received queries on when it would be resumed. Taking into consideration users' needs and the public's concerns, we will introduce a revised People Search function next week. But the search results will not show any NRIC number, masked or unmasked. What this means is that if you enter a full or partial name in the search, say Emily, the search result will return a list of matching names that contain the word Emily, such as Emily Tan, Emily Lee, Emily Pereira, but no NRIC number will be shown for all these individuals who appear on the search results. For those who require more information about a specific individual, including the full NRIC number, they will then pay and obtain the necessary information from BizFile. This is the service that ACRA has to provide as a National Business Register of Singapore, in line with the laws administered by ACRA, like the ACRA Act and the Companies Act. This change will make it less convenient for some users of BizFile, because they may not be able to so readily identify the specific individual they're looking for from the search function. But after assessing the situation, we believe it is the right balance to strike between corporate transparency and public concerns regarding personal information. Let me reiterate that we do not take this incident lightly. MOF and ACRA will learn from this episode and setback. We're thoroughly reviewing the incident to identify areas where we should have done and can do better, including improving the communication and coordination between agencies and the features of our digital services. We will continue to monitor feedback on the BizFile portal and will review and update the BizFile on an ongoing basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Ministers and Chief Executive. We will now start the Q&A session.
I think I have something else to say before we start Q&A. Thanks, Dina. Friends from the media, you have heard from Hui Min and also Minister Indrani on the actions that will be taken with regards to BizFile. My ministry shares responsibility for how events unfolded, and we too apologize to the public for the anxiety caused. As I explained in my opening remarks, we had planned to discontinue the use of masked NRIC numbers within the government, starting with new services and progressively changing out other services as they are updated. For the private sector, we had intended to consult before making any change. We should have made that clear. We should also have made clear what we meant by moving away from using masked NRIC numbers. It does not mean automatically unmasking and using the full NRIC number in all circumstances. In other words, just because we move away from using masked NRIC numbers doesn't mean that we switch everything into the unmasked NRIC number, fully exposing the NRIC number. In some instances, for example, when the doctor performs a procedure or a nurse dispenses us medication, it would be safer and more accurate to use the full NRIC number. In other instances, such as signing up for retail membership or lucky draws, there is no need to use the NRIC number at all. There are alternatives like phone numbers or email addresses that can be used. In other words, not using masked NRIC numbers does not mean we will unmask all currently masked NRIC numbers. So I want to say that again. Not using masked NRIC numbers does not mean that we will unmask all currently masked NRIC numbers. We should have made this clear too. Having said that, I would like to re-emphasize why a current use, current practices around the use of NRIC numbers today makes us vulnerable and why we should act while the problem is relatively contained. Think back to how our NRIC number is like our name. Even though it is not a secret, if someone we don't recognize calls out our name and starts to behave as though they know us very well, we would be slightly suspicious at least. We would be polite, but not too friendly. We should certainly not share too much with this person just because they know our name. In the same way, this is how we should treat anyone who tells us our NRIC number as a way of suggesting that they know us well. We should be cautious about our interactions, and we should certainly be careful about revealing more about ourselves, saying yes to their requests, or following their instructions without checking further. But this is not the case today. We may assume, say, a caller on the phone who can tell us our NRIC number, we may assume that this person is a figure of authority. And this makes us vulnerable to potential scammers. Some organizations also accept NRIC numbers, whether full or partial, as a way to prove that the person who he claims to be is who he is. And that allows him to access confidential documents like e-statements or controlled services. This is not secure. These practices and mindsets must change. We know this will take time, and that is why we are not rushing to change policy. We will start by focusing on the incorrect users of NRIC numbers and stopping such practices. So you've got to put a stop to these kind of practices first. And this means moving away from using the NRIC number as a password and moving away from using the NRIC number as an authenticator to prove that a person is who he claims to be. And as I said earlier, within the government, we are taking steps to do so. Here, it may be useful to contrast the NRIC number and the NRIC card, because there is some confusion that they are the same. Actually, they are not. Let me put this in personal terms to be precise and specific. I can use my NRIC card both to identify myself and to prove I am who I claim to be. The reason is not because my NRIC card contains my NRIC number, but because the card also contains other information, such as my photo and fingerprint, that allows others to check that my NRIC card matches me, the person holding the card, plus the fact that the NRIC card is not easily faked. But someone providing my NRIC number and claiming to be me is different from me producing my NRIC card to prove that I am that person. Providing my NRIC number alone should not be accepted as a way to authenticate the person quoting my NRIC number is actually me. The proper way to handle NRIC numbers is spelt out in the PDPC's advisory guidelines on the use of NRIC. We will update the guidelines to help put a stop to the wrong users of the NRIC number and to give reassurance to entities who have legitimate reasons to use the NRIC number, such as hospitals. We will consult industry before making any changes to the advisory guidelines. Meanwhile, the prevailing guidelines remain valid. Therefore, most organizations and individuals can carry on with what they are doing to be careful and responsible in how they collect and use NRIC numbers. They must continue to exercise duty of care in their handling of NRIC numbers. For example, the numbers should not be published unless there are good reasons to do so. For organizations that are not using NRIC numbers, whether full or partial, as passwords or authenticators, nothing has changed. But if they are, then they should stop these practices as soon as practicable. I would also like to address a related question on ACRA's exemption from PDPA requirements. The government has always taken seriously its responsibility to protect the data and trust it to the public sector, and we continue to strengthen our data governance practices. To be clear, the government's personal data protection standards set collectively by the Public Sector Governance Act, or PSGA, and our own internal rules, they are aligned with the PDPA and adapted to the public sector context. So it's not as though within the government there are no rules. There is the PSGA and there are also internal rules. These internal rules existed even before the PDPA and were updated when the PDPA came into force. ACRA, like other public agencies, is expected to comply with these rules and the PSGA, which are no less stringent than the PDPA requirements and often more stringent. For completeness, ACRA is also permitted or required by laws like the ACRA Act and Companies Act to share information, and it has to do so within the rules and PSGA requirements. So, to conclude, we are taking the public's concerns seriously, and we want to offer them better protection. We are not making drastic overnight changes. We do, however, need to move decisively to phase out the incorrect users of the NRIC number, and the sooner the better. This will allow us to more confidently use the full NRIC number as a unique identifier. So thank you very much. Yeah. And I think we have time now to move to the questions. Yeah.
Thank you, Minister. So we will now start the Q&A session. Gentle reminder to reporters to please raise your hand if you would like to ask a question, and my colleague will pass to you a mic. Please speak using the mic, introduce your name and media outlet, and keep your questions brief and keep to one question at a time so that we can give other reporters a chance to ask. With that, may we now have the first question, please?
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the explanation. I'm Geraldine from CNA. So I just wanted to ask, I think we understand where the government is coming from, but the lived reality for a lot of Singaporeans on the ground is quite different in that they still treat the NRIC as sensitive information that they would not freely share, right? So I just wanted to ask, like, why was this policy change not communicated earlier to the people, especially if, you know, there was already a circular that was sent to the various government agencies and ministries regarding this change in the policy stance? And then on a sort of separate but related note, I note that Minister Indrani had actually mentioned that the change So not showing the NRIC number for the people search function in this file might make it less convenient for some people, but that is the right balance to strike between transparency and public concerns, right? But why not go back to the previous way of showing the mask NRIC numbers? Because, I mean, if you're saying that NRIC numbers is not meant to be treated as sensitive information and it can, and we've already been using mask NRIC numbers, why not just go back to that instead of now not showing even the mask NRIC numbers?
Maybe I'll invite Minister Indrani to respond to the question on Accra's decision to make the change. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, right. Can you just repeat the earlier part of your question on this one? Because I want to make sure. I think
the
question had two
parts. NRIC numbers, or
No, that one is.
I can take this one. I think Geraldine's question was, why have
why make this change now?
Why not go back to the mask? Yes.
Why not go
numbers?
Back to mask?
Yeah, the first part was on you know, why was this change, this policy change, not communicated earlier, and how do you intend to address the people's concerns?
Okay, so with respect to Accra, we considered this, right? You could go back to the earlier one where when you search, it will show a partial NRIC. But given that one of the concerns is that partial NRIC gives a false sense of security, and it is actually possible to work out a full NRIC, and given the public concerns in the wake of this incident, we felt it would be better not to show either partial or full for the present time. But what we are doing is looking to see whether there's any other way we can do this to make it easier for people to find the right person or the information they're looking for. So one easy way would be this. If you have the info. Remember I talked about the example of, let's say, Emily. If you type in Emily, it may come out Emily Tan, Emily Goh, Emily Lee. But if you happen to know the company of the Emily that you are searching for, let's say Emily and her company is Star Enterprises. If you type in both, then it will straight away give you the right Emily. But if you don't have any other information and you only have Emily, then, you know, three or four or five Emily's might pop up, in which case you would have to do the level two search, because the level two search is where you get full information. So that's the current position. We're looking to see how we can make it a little bit easier, but for the present time, we felt that it would be better not to show any NRIC, whether in full or partial.
So let me take your first question, Geraldine. I think we can all appreciate from this exchange how delicate this set of communications is going to be. These are not concepts that are so easily explained to people. There are many different dimensions. What is the difference between not using masked numbers versus unmasking versus using other identifiers? What is the difference between using NRIC numbers or any other identifier to authenticate a person? And I think we have to keep in mind that in seeking to share more with the public, in fact, we had to first establish a basic understanding of where the public was. And this would usually have involved maybe conducting prior surveys, get a sense of what percentage people understand the difference between identification and authentication, and then establishing what people understand to be not masked, unmasking, and other identifiers. So the process of going through a communications exercise itself is non-trivial. which means that you've got to plan it, and you've also got to find the right time to do so and not alarm people unnecessarily. So the question was that, when do we start the communications exercise? And to start the communications exercise, it should be in relation to the readiness of the preparation. And in this case, we were not prepared. We were thinking about it, but we had not assembled the whole plan. And then, if you went ahead and did so, you could find yourself in a very difficult situation of not properly explaining various aspects of the issue. Now, whilst we are working out the communications plans, the question for us is that, in the meantime, the government services continued to be introduced, the government services continued to be updated. And you then have to make a decision, well, do you start implementing the plan to not use masked numbers, or you hold it back? And weighing the two, we decided on balance, whilst we were not ready to communicate it, in order not to cause abortive efforts at updating systems or introducing new systems, it was probably better within the government to make clear that we are moving away from the use of masked NRICs. For most intents and purposes, this may not have involved direct communications with the public. It may not have involved them being on the receiving end of the change in this approach. It would mostly have concerned how agencies, public sector entities interacting with each other. So, for example, if we are describing a person getting some form of social support, do we continue to describe this person fully using the full set of the NRIC number, or we continue to use this masked NRIC number? Keep in mind that continuing to use masked NRIC number within government would also run the risk of giving ourselves this false sense of security. So we decided that it was better to move ahead with making the change within government whilst we stood up the plan for communicating to the public. So that was the thinking behind it.
Thank you. Can we have the next question?
Okay. Hi, thank you, Ministers. This is Ying. I'm from the Straits Times. I just wanted to get more clarity on how the Accra unmasking happened. So there was lapse of coordination between the staff, lapse in communication. I just wanted to get a better sense of, why this had happened and how did it skip through so many layers of, you know, checks and executives that could have led to this.
Oscar, Hui Min.
It arose because of ACRA's misunderstanding of the circular that we were talking about. The circular mentioned requiring government agencies to cease any planned use of masked NRIC numbers in new business processes and services. ACRA had interpreted the requirement to cease the use of masked NRIC numbers as needing to unmask the numbers in our new BizFile portal. ACRA sought to clarify with MDDI what was the scope and the implementation timeline of this new requirement, but communications between the two agencies were not sufficiently clear, leading to ACRA's mistaken thinking that we were required to unmask the NRIC numbers in the new BizFile portal that was being implemented in November, December.
So, to reiterate, the starting point was, can we better protect our citizens? And to better protect them, we should stop using masked NRIC numbers to give ourselves the false sense of security. And so this was what was communicated through the circular within government. But as Wei Min have explained, even though there were attempts to coordinate and to seek clarification, that clearly still resulted in a misunderstanding. And we are very sorry for that.
Thank you.
Abigail from CNA Digital here. I just wanted to ask, following up from that question, what's going to happen to the Accra staff or staff from any other agency that are deemed to be responsible for this lapse, which has caused quite a lot of public concern? And are there any plans to review and improve government communication, both within and externally, to respond quickly to such incidents?
I think it would be premature at this stage to say whether anything is going to happen to the particular staff in question. As I mentioned, we're doing a review of this because you must remember, this is an instance of a misunderstanding, right? And I think one has to ascertain exactly how that came about and have a look at the full facts before deciding on what, if anything, needs to be done. On the second part of your question, are we reviewing? I had mentioned that in my comments earlier. I said that we are having a review of this to see, you know, how this could have been avoided and what can be done better going forward.
You mentioned in the in your remarks about reviewing within the government, but what about public communication or responding to the I guess, like the incident that happened last week, because it took a while before there was a response from.
Well,
we didn't hear the last part of your question. Would you?
So I was saying that I think Minister Indrani's remarks did cover reviewing communication within the government, but in terms of after the incident happened, there was a response, and then it's been about a week before we have today's press conference. So is there any, are there any plans to review and sort of try to address this issue more quickly next time?
Well, you're asking about two separate things, right? One is there going to be a review about what happened? And the answer is yes. So I dealt with that earlier. I think the next part of your question is there going to be a review about speed of public response? I think that there was a media statement that was put out fairly shortly after that event. But before we convened this media conference, obviously we needed to check more. Because I think for anybody who has ever dealt with a situation where something occurs very suddenly out of the blue and you have to respond to it, you need to check. And here it's not just one agency. There's two ministries, MOF, MDDI. There's also Accra involved. And there's also, you know, checking at the staff level what happened. So it does take a little bit of time. And that's why there's a bit of a gap. Obviously, if we can do it faster, that would be ideal. But that is the reason why there is a bit of a gap between the earlier statement and this conference.
Thank you. Thank you. Osman here from The Straits Times. I wanted to ask whether in the government's eyes, is this a policy U-turn? Because pre-2018, companies could collect NRICs fairly freely, like transportation companies and stuff like that. 2018, there was a push for masks NRICs, and now we're viewing NRICs as a name. So in the government's eyes, is this a policy U-turn? And also, just to describe the scale of this incident, how many NRICs were leaked as a result of the BizFile update last week? And how can we assure the public that, you know, of the safeguards and if there are any security concerns?
On the policy part, I think Minjo will address that, but can I just check with you when you say there is a policy U-turn, a U-turn on which aspect? Because because you mentioned collection, if the question is there a U-turn on collection of information, I don't think there's any issue about collection. So what would be the U-turn or the apparent U-turn that you're referring to?
Because in 2018, we were told that, you know, we should be using masks, as we should be masking our NRICs. But then now, there is not much weight given to the security behind masking it. And so we should view NRICs as something as something more like a name.
Okay, so your question is there a change between earlier advisory on masking and then now on whether or not you should continue to have masking? And that, I think, would be taken by MDDI. On your second question of how many, that is something that we're checking in terms of the numbers of the NRICs in the database. But as I think CE indicated earlier, or no, I think Min Jo indicated earlier, remember, this is the ACRA database, or the ACRA biz file, rather, and not the registry of births and deaths. So this is not the registry of all Singaporeans. This is the register of businesses and the people who transact with ACRA.
Yeah. I think first is to acknowledge the confusion and why it is understandable that people are confused. Perhaps it would help if I characterize it this way. The only thing that has changed is the government deciding not to use masked NRIC numbers. That is the only thing that has changed. The circular of July that Hui Min referred to was essentially to deal with this issue. And as I explained earlier, we should have made clear that not masking doesn't mean reveal everything. So that part, let me just say it out there. The confusion lies at two levels. One is, this is the government's position that it has taken for itself. What is the position that the government has taken for the private sector? So this is one level of confusion. What is the position that you have taken for yourself versus what is the position that you have taken for the private sector? I think the position that we have taken for ourselves is quite clear. It is captured in the circular that Hui Min referred to. The position that we have taken for the private sector is that we will consult first. We have not taken a position on what it should be for the private sector. And the consultation is necessary before we land on a position that is appropriate for the private sector. So to make clear, this is one level of confusion. The government's own use of mask numbers versus the private sector use of numbers, mask numbers, is not the same thing. We only decided what it should be for the government. We have not decided what it should be for the private sector. What it should be for the private sector is something that should be born out of the consultation process. So that is one level of confusion. The second level of confusion is that the position for the private sector with regards to the use of mask numbers, what is it today and what is it in 2018? What was it in 2018? And the answer to that question is that it is the same. Because we have not consulted the private sector on the appropriate position to take with regards to the use of mask numbers, the position for the private sector is the same today as it was in 2018 when the advisory guidelines were issued by the PDPC outlining all the steps that must be taken when organizations collect and use NRIC numbers and as well as NRIC cards. So the advisory guidelines that were issued by the PDPC in 2018, they remain valid today. They have not changed. We do plan to update it. What are we going to update it for? We will obviously have to update it and make clear the position on mask numbers. We also have to update it to help put a stop to the improper use of NRIC numbers for authentication and as passwords. That is what the update will have to cover. But we have not done the consultation, and therefore it would be inappropriate to update those guidelines right now. And we will only update the guidelines, make any changes that are needed to support the need for stopping the use, the misuse of NRIC numbers. We will only make those changes after we have consulted the industry, after we have conducted the public consultation, which actually will have to involve the public too, because before you publish the new guidelines, minimally you have to put it out for public consumption. Minimally you will have to put it on your website to say, this is the version from 2018, and this is a version that we are proposing to shift to. And when you put the two versions together to the public will also be invited and have a chance to give their inputs, in addition to the industry providing their inputs. So to recap, there are two levels of confusion. One level of confusion is government's decision on its own use of mass numbers versus government's thinking on what the private sector should do with regards to mass numbers. One level of confusion for industry, not decided yet. Private sector, not decided yet. And how to decide? Okay, must do consultation. Therefore, second level of confusion, before you have decided, what is the position? Position is unchanged from 2018. And that's why we say, if as an organization you have been faithfully carrying out your responsibilities under the advisory guidelines that were issued in 2018, you don't need to do anything else. You only need to do something if, for some reason, you ended up using NRIC numbers, whether partial or full, as passwords or as authenticators. That is when you are being encouraged to quickly do something about it, because your use of the NRIC number as a password or as an authenticator is not a secure way of handling your customer interactions. And that is something that must come to a stop as soon as possible. Osman, I hope that slightly long explanation helps to set things in context. Sure, please do.
So the government has its approach, the private sector has its approach. How does it make sense for the everyday person? Like, why must there be a difference in terms of how NRICs are used and verified across both? Yes.
I also can understand that question. But there is a good reason why there cannot necessarily be an identical match between government users and private sector users. The government's users very often concern benefits that are provided to citizens. So in the example that I used earlier, I had talked about in a hospital setting, I talked about medication and medical procedures. But for government, if there are two tanakaos and they have different circumstances and our policies are designed to help each of them meet different objectives. For example, the provision of grants and subsidies will have to be different depending on the circumstances of tanakao number one and tanakao number two. If we did not have a precise and accurate way of knowing which tanakao we are talking about, then we will also not be very precise and accurate in terms of providing the benefits to them. This is just one layer. But there will be many other instances in schools for the purposes of issuing travel documents, for law enforcement. You don't want to find the wrong person too. So if you are supposed to issue a fine to tanakao number one, and you ended up issuing a fine to tanakao number two because you did not know what their NRIC numbers were and you could not uniquely identify them, then you are in a very difficult situation. But in the private sector, what are the occasions that you really need to have the full NRIC number? Maybe not the same. But we don't want to presume, and that's why the public consultation was going to have to be important. And you need to give time for the public consultation. So,
thank you.
This is Eileen from Zaobao. So this, the NRIC number incident and the Simpligo
the EZLINK card incident recently. Actually, there are both issues whereby there is a lack of communication between the government and the people, and it became a very controversial issue for both. So, you know, how can the government improve communication with the people and probably not jump the gun and cause such big hoo-has?
This case is really unfortunate. It arose out of a misunderstanding. If things had gone according to plan, we would have had the chance to do the proper communications. And that is just really something that should not have happened, but it did happen, and for which we are very sorry. Indrani, do you want to add to that?
I would just say or reiterate what Minister Josephine said, which is that it's not as though it was planned to happen in this way. The plan was to have a phased out sequence with the proper communications. But what happened in this instance is that because of a misunderstanding, the numbers inadvertently got put out, then it became an issue, and then everything got accelerated, and you know the matter became a big matter. So I think in the short answer to your question is that the government will do its best to consult, explain, take feedback, and communicate in the proper sequence and as soon as possible. But occasionally, disruptor events like this come along, unintended, but when they do happen, what's very important is to be able to let all of you know what happened, and also to express our sincere regrets and apologies that it happened, and to reassure people on this.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hi. Okay, I'm Lulu from Xinming. So I just have two quick questions, one of them being a clarification. The first one is, I understand that what will happen from next week onwards for the BizFile portal, yeah, so people's search function will likely be a temporary arrangement while you look for an easier way that will balance, you know, the user's needs and people's concerns. So how soon do you think that alternative solution might be achieved in the future?
We will take time to look at what is feasible within the period of time that we think users need the service, as well as taking into account the concerns of the community. So we need to strike a balance, and we will need time to make a very considered decision before we determine what should be the next step. We will weigh all these considerations very carefully. And may I add again to say that we are really very, very sorry for causing all the concerns and the anxieties. Thank you.
Could I just add to that, which is that although the NRIC will not appear, as I mentioned earlier, if you have any other information, so for example, company name or business is one, but if you have the person's full name, so when I said Emily Lee, for example, if you happen to have Emily Lee Hui Hui, then unless there are three or more Emily Lee Hui Hui's, chances are the correct one will pop up. So for those who are actually using the search function, should try to see whether you have any other information as much as possible.
Okay, thank you. And the second clarification is for Mingtiu. So I think it was mentioned several times as well as in your closing remarks that not using mass NRIC numbers does not mean we will unmask all currently mass NRIC numbers. So forgive me for being blunt. So what does it mean then?
It means that it would have to be case specific. So in a hospital setting, if the doctor is going to have to confirm the identity of the person going through a procedure, or the nurse has to confirm that I should be giving this person two tablets of whatever medication, think about it. Would it be better to just use that four numbers, or is better to use the full string? I think in those circumstances, frankly speaking, it would be safer for the individual, it would be more accurate for the hospital to go with the full NRIC number. Right? So this is very case use specific. But again, if I'm an organization just trying to register my customers for membership so that you can have, you know, benefits, actually you take on a very big responsibility of capturing that NRIC number in full. In the first place, you shouldn't even use NRIC number, because even if you just captured the customer's last four digits, as we have explained, you can work backwards. It doesn't take a lot of effort to work out what the full NRIC is. So as an organization, to have used that NRIC number, even a partial one, actually you have taken on more responsibilities that you need to. You could ask the customer if they are willing to share their mobile numbers. You could ask the customer whether they are willing to tell you their email address. And we all have different email addresses. Some we use for, you know, work purposes. Some we just use it so that we can buy things. We can transact with, you know, various organizations. Now, those, you have never thought that the email address is a secret, because you give it out so that you can communicate. But it is more or less adequate to identify you. It may not be unique, but actually, if you even use Gmail or many of these email services, if you happen to have the same email address as somebody else, they will already ask you to change. So I don't know that whether it's possible to say that it's 100% unique, guaranteed unique, but actually quite differentiated already. Those can be used as identifiers. But if organizations continue to use the NRIC number and they think that they have done their customer a favor by collecting only part of it, actually they have made an error, not only for themselves, and they will continue to perpetuate the sense of false security that their customer feels. And that is what we are trying to get out of. We want to do this while the problem is relatively contained. We don't want this to grow as a practice. And the reason we don't want this to grow as a practice, come back to the fundamental, is we want to protect people. We want to protect people that if and when they need to use their NRIC number, they don't suddenly get scared and they don't dare to use it. So we have to find a way to return to the NRIC being used confidently as a unique identifier. It was its purpose for being created. But along the way, because of all these masking and so on, you suddenly think that the full NRIC therefore is somewhat concealed. And since it can be concealed, therefore you can use it as a password. Therefore you can use it for authentication. And actually, that puts the person in a vulnerable position. And it's not the right way of protecting them. The right way of protecting them is to phase out the use of these masked NRIC numbers, certainly for the government. And for the private sector, it should minimally be reduced. As to whether you go all the way, that's something we have to decide after the consultation. So go back to the nub of your question. There are other identifiers that are reasonably good alternatives.
Next, yeah.
So then what happens to currently masked NRIC numbers? Will they become masked?
No. I think we have made that quite clear, and it bears repeating. We are not asking for all masked NRIC numbers to suddenly do a reveal. No. I said it, and I should say it again. Moving away from masked NRIC numbers does not mean all currently masked numbers should be unmasked.
Actually, that was an interesting question, because when you asked that question, am I correct in thinking that your instinctive response was, if you say cease planned use of mask numbers, it means unmask? Yeah, that's exactly what Accra thought too. So I'm just trying to illustrate that's how the error occurred. And then in the course of it after that, because of the lapse in coordination, that part wasn't clarified. So I just want you to...
What would be helpful for members of the media to help communicate? And I mean this, that your role has been very critical in this episode. And a lot of the questions that we attempted to answer in our statements was actually from your reporting. So if you could help to point to other identifiers. If you could say, try not to use mask numbers because it gives a false sense of security, then what is the alternative? The alternative is not the full NRIC number. The alternative is very often other identifiers.
Is it correct to say then we try not to collect NRIC in the first place, but in the event that we do, it will be full NRICs?
I think maybe that's not the correct characterization too. If you refer to the advisory guidelines that were issued in 2018, firstly, it discourages the collection of NRIC, partial or full. Because if you have no business collecting people's NRICs, as Hui Min pointed out correctly, that people consider it private and confidential, and they do not want it to be shared. So if for no rhyme or reason you collect it, for what? If you can collect something else. So the advisory guidelines was actually originally introduced because there was a rampant collection of NRIC cards, NRIC numbers, photocopies, and so on. And because we respected people's desire for privacy and confidentiality, we had to issue that guideline. That guideline remains valid. Please do not go and collect it for no good reason. Please do not go and publish it for no good reason. Those guidelines remain valid.
And I think the second thing is that even if you have collected it, do not use it as an authenticator.
Absolutely.
Good afternoon. Elise from 8World Digital.
Sorry, can you speak louder? We couldn't hear.
Yeah, I'm Elise from 8World Digital. I need Mandarin soundbite from Minister Josephine. Like whether you can say why having NRIC as an authenticator is not a good idea.
I won't be doing that right now. I think maybe we stay focused. The content is quite, it's not because I don't want to, but you can well imagine that it lends itself to, you know, a lot of difficulty. So we will have to make some separate arrangements on that if we could do that. Thank you. Yes.
I'm Ken Kiong from Channel 8 News. I would like to ask a question also about the alternative identifier. Currently, there are some actions like making medical appointment or checking patients' ward details. We can be done by having the names and NRIC numbers. In line with the moved away from using mask NRIC numbers, do you think there's a need to add additional layer of a more private identifier to mitigate the risk from like identity impersonation?
Are you asking about a private identifier or are you asking about a private authenticator?
Identifier, because if for like banking or financial sectors, we already have additional of authenticator. I think that shouldn't be a problem. But for private sectors, but the example I can think of is like medical appointments or checking the patient details. I believe there are also more practices that currently we are done with having the name and NRIC numbers. But now we are moving forward in like the NRIC numbers is not a secret anymore. Yeah. I was thinking, is there a need to add additional layer?
So, Ken Kiong, yours is a great question. I would think that we should not jump the gun. We haven't done the public consultation. So if I say that you should do this or you should do that, that will certainly come across to the private sector as you have already decided. And we haven't decided. So we want to talk to the private sector under what circumstances you still think that you need to collect the full NRIC number as a way of identifying. And what processes can be put in place to ensure that you are able to exercise your duty of care in terms of the collection, in terms of seeking consent, in terms of storing it, and in terms of using it. Now, but that consultation has not been done, and after the consultation, if there are adjustments that we need to make in the guidelines, we will do so. And that could include what are the settings under which the use of the NRIC number in full can still be, is actually still very much needed for identification purposes. So we just don't want to jump the gun right now. I think at this stage it's even more something that we have to be extremely careful for, giving the impression that there you have it, you say you haven't decided, and then actually you have already decided.
Thanks. Yeah.
Hi, ministers. I just want to lay out some facts to just clarify and.
Sorry, can you introduce yourself?
Oh, sorry, I'm getting there. Just to clarify them, I'm Yan Han from the Straits Times. So from what I understand, intent of unmasking the NRIC numbers seems to have three aspects to it. So the first one seems to be the within government effort, which is both the idea of improving the cross-agency efficiency as well as.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want clarity because you said this practice of unmasking the NRIC numbers.
Sorry, from and, not and, using
and, yeah, the, NRIC because that's numbers. Exactly where yes. this comes from. So
okay, just, I understand. Sorry, okay. I apologize for that. So the first aspect is the within government effort, which is seems to have an element of improving cross-agency efficiency as well as removing the government's own forces of security surrounding these numbers. And there's also the public education segment that you have mentioned that the ministry, I think, intended to take on next year. And this is because the government has noticed that there is this false sense of security among the Singaporeans. And the third element is this private sector consultation that you have mentioned that you want to be done with an eye on this is the government's intent and reasoning for doing so. And it sounds like that's what you want the private sector to get towards, but you want to finesse and work towards the unique circumstances that they have. Okay. I just want to clarify that this is accurate. And then also you mentioned that there is some kind of acceleration of the timeline, but also at the same time, the previous responses that we have seen says, a number of years meant to be done over a period of time. And your closing remarks just now also mentioned you need to move decisively. Do you share a bit more about the original timeline and whether there's any changes to it now that this, in a sense, this Accra incident has affected all these three different elements?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Yan Han. I do appreciate the opportunity to clarify on the questions that you raised. Just to reiterate, we can see how easy it is to get tripped up over not masking equals unmasking. So please, please, please help to reinforce this point. Not masking very often can just mean use other identifiers. Okay. Now, allow me also to kind of make clear what the public education is for and what the public consultation is for. Because I can also appreciate that when they are spoken of in the same breath, it may seem like we're talking about the same thing. Actually, we're talking about different things. The public consultation is with regards to what do we do with the advisory guidelines specifically. Because the advisory guidelines are what tell people are the proper ways of handling NRICs, numbers as well as cards. So you've got to go back to these advisory guidelines, which is the guidance given to the private sector on how it should handle NRIC cards, NRIC numbers properly. And that has to be updated because of the discussion that we just had. You need to tell people about the risk. You need to ask them to stop using it as NRIC numbers as authenticator and passwords. So you need to update the guidelines. So that's public consultation. The public education, before we start making policy changes, was with regards to I would say three broad buckets of things. The public education has first got to go back to the risks that we now face. The risks that we now face when masking gives us a false sense of security, the risks that we now face that NRIC numbers are being used for passwords and authentication. These are the risks that we have to point out through public education, raise people's awareness. The other thing that we need to cover in public education is that how do you better protect yourself? And how you better protect yourself goes back to Min Indrani's reminder. You can stop using your NRIC number as a password. And if you're an organization, you please must try and stop using the NRIC number for authentication. Because your customers, the people you're dealing with, are depending on you. They did not set the parameters for authentication. The organizations did, and so the organizations need to also know through public education that this is inappropriate. Although this has always been the position and PDPC has taken organizations to task, I think the fact that some organizations still use it for authentication speaks to the fact that the public education has not gone far enough. So that's the other bucket of things that you need to educate people on. The third, and probably not immediately, further down the road, we also need to educate the public on what is the new way of thinking about the NRIC number and return it to its original purpose as a unique identifier. So therefore, when it is really possible to think of the NRIC number as only the unique identifier, you don't need to be so scared that she knows it and she knows it. But today we are not ready to do that. We first have to tell people about the risks. Second, we need to go through the process of changing out our mindsets and practices. And only then, I think we are ready for the new way of thinking. So it goes back to why you never communicate first, because actually it's quite involved. You can't jump ahead. You've been here since, 10 a.m.? If it's taken 10 a.m. to 3.5 hours for us to get from here to here, imagine when we have to communicate this to so many more people with different language preferences, with different understanding of the NRIC, with lots and lots of past use of the NRIC card, and also sometimes being asked for the NRIC number here in the hospital, there, you know, in a retail shop. This clearly takes a long time. So the public education effort we've always known was going to be major. And that's why it wasn't something that you just willy-nilly go out and say, oh, by the way, we have issued a circular. So please know this is coming. It wouldn't have worked. So it's not for want of trying. It's not for unwillingness to communicate. But it was to recognize that if you really want to protect people, you've got to take these communications in a very measured way. Gauge, after you have done this, what's the level of understanding? Has it gone from 32% to 62%? And only then you say, okay, I think we can go to the next stage of communications. And now we can start talking about this. So this was at the back of our minds. All this at the back of our minds. And you are right. This timeline has become very compressed as a result. We had thought that we could stage it out properly, but clearly, given people's anxiety, we've got to compress the timeline and do it much earlier. But even then, I seek the media's understanding, it probably isn't a very good idea for us to do everything at one go. The level of acceptance and understanding will need to be taken in steps. And may I also just compliment you, because I think in the last couple of days, you're very helpfully tried to educate the public on the difference between the NRIC number for identification and for authentication. I think it will take quite a bit more of repetition before people get to the idea, and then as well as taking action to change their passwords if they've been using it. So from understanding to being persuaded to taking action, even that is not going to happen overnight. And we're very serious about it. At this stage, we better just keep reminding people using your NRIC number as a password is not safe for you. And in order to protect yourself, can you quickly find a way to change out of that password? And if you're an organization that is still doing that, we need your help. We need your help sooner rather than later to change the method of authentication. Thank you. Sorry, it was a very long elaboration on your confirmation. I hope it's helpful to you. Yeah.
Thank you. In the interest of time, we'll now take one last question.
I'm Tali from MediaCorp Chinese Radio News. Thanks for the very detailed explanation by all of you. Thank you. So basically, right, from the public's perspective, we understand that now some of the NRIC has been reviewed, it's not intended, but so right now, is there any remediation measures to ring fence details that has been leaked, or is there any other remediation measures from the government's perspective, from your part to remediate this issue? I understand that it's not the birth registry or anything, but it's still quite a substantial number of NRIC that has been reviewed. Thank you.
Can I just check, what do you mean by ring fence?
Remediation results.
No, she ring fence earlier. I just want to make sure that I understand the question
NRIC
correctly.
The NRIC that has been leaked, is there any way to... the government has any measures in mind to remediate the situation?
Okay. Let me just walk you through the ACRA BizFile processes, and Huimin and Minjo, please feel free to jump in. The starting point that we must remember is this. ACRA has BizFile as a business register, and its purpose and its function is actually to give information. So getting an NRIC number from the BizFile is actually legitimate. By law, under the Companies Act and other legislation, that is one of ACRA's functions, to provide information about companies, including the directors, shareholders, and that would include their NRIC. But it's how you go about it, right? Because the way BizFile is set up is, one, you have the people search. That's what is a level one search. And level one search is when you roughly know who you're looking for. And how do you know who you're looking for? You may just have a name or part of a name, and then you search. Some people also have the NRIC, and then they search NRIC because they don't have the name, right? And that gives you certain information, level one. But if you want more information, then you would purchase the people profile. That's a level two search. And in the level two search, the NRIC number will be there as it should be, because it is lawful to provide the NRIC number in the level two search, which is paid for. So what we're really talking about here is searchability, because the level one is about searchability, right? So we're checking to see what kind of access may have been had, but I would say that the simplest thing to do for anyone who may be concerned about this is, if you do have your NRIC as an authenticator, change it. Because even if it was searched and somebody was able to get your NRIC, that NRIC itself does not open a door unless it is being used as an authenticator. If it's just an identifier, it only gets you so far, if you're a person who has gotten the NRIC number, it only gets you so far as to knowing that there's this other person with the name and this NRIC. But if the NRIC is not an authenticator, then you can't get to whatever account or whatever it is. So I think the key message, which I hope will reassure people, is if you have any concerns about this at all, then do make sure that you take steps to change any password or authentication that was your NRIC. Just change it to something else, which is you know not so easy to guess, even as we work out on what happened with the search.
So thank you all for the questions and giving us the opportunity to explain as well as to clarify. We are contactable. Please continue to pose your questions to us through my colleagues, and we're more than willing to take a look at whatever questions that you have, whatever clarifications are needed, because we fully appreciate this is not an easy topic. There's almost a sense that the words can be, you know, can entrap you in a way of thinking and in a way of appreciating the issue. So feel free to check in with us, and we'll try to respond to you as quickly as we can. And once again, we just want to say that we are very sorry that this incident happened the way it did. It was not our intention, so we have to find a way to move forward. Thank you
all very much.